All right, the Nature Conservancy of Canada, the NCC, is Canada's leading national land conservation organization. It's a private, not-for-profit organization protecting the natural areas that sustain Canada's plants and wildlife. It's been there since 1962. It's even older than me. Holy mac. No, it's not. I wish. NCC and its partners have helped to protect 14 million hectares, 35 million acres of land across the nation. It is, along with the Nature Serve Canada, they've developed for the first time a comprehensive report cataloging uniquely Canadian species and mapping hotspots across the country where they can be found. Earlier this month, they released a report called Ours to Save, highlighting uniquely Canadian plants and animals and the threats that face them. And with Canada Day quickly coming upon us, in fact, this Wednesday, we wanted to learn more about our Canadian biodiversity and bring awareness to species in Canada that may be a little vulnerable or almost extinct. Welcome to the program, Daniel T. Kouse, who is the National Conservation Biologist at the Nature Conservancy of Canada. It's Kouse, not Kouse. I don't know why they got the R dropped here. Good morning, Daniel.
Good morning.
How are you? Sorry about the pronunciation, but somebody dropped your R's on all my paperwork for some bizarre reason. Weird. We're not sure. Strange thing. Anyways, welcome to the program. All right. So first of all, as I discussed with our producer earlier on when I saw this story, I wasn't even aware that we had animals unique to Canada. I thought we shared all of our wildlife with at least, very least, our neighbors south of the border, but that's not the case, is it?
No, I mean, we certainly do share responsibility for the conservation and the protection of most of our wildlife species. Canada has about 80,000 known plants and animals, and the vast majority of those we share responsibility with the United States, or even in some cases in the north, Greenland or Russia or Scandinavian countries. But what we want to do with this report is really kind of focus in on those plants and animals where there is no shared responsibility and where their conservation and their future is completely up to Canadians.
Now you say shared because other jurisdictions have the same animal, and so we're sharing on our research and our management and all that. And the ones that they don't, then we're on our own, basically.
Yeah, absolutely. And, you know, these other species that we share responsibility for, we still need to protect them in Canada. In some cases, yep. We play a critical role in their conservation. And, you know, we don't necessarily want to rely on Americans to look after our wildlife. But most of our species, if we did lose them in Canada, the plan B is that they live somewhere else and we could bring them back. And we've used plan B a few times. Wild turkeys is a great example. Like when I was a kid, there were no wild turkeys. They were gone from Ontario for almost 100 years. And in the 1980s, groups like Ontario Federation of Anglers and Hunters helped to bring them back. And that's been very successful. But there is a group of species where they don't occur anywhere else. And if they're lost here, they're lost in the entire planet.
Daniel, we've got to take a quick break, but there's a million questions I've got to ask you. So if you can sit tight with us for a minute, we'll be right back and continue this. You're listening to the Outdoor Journal on Sportsnet 590 The Fan. More journal after this, don't you dare go away. Welcome back to the program, Outdoor Journal, Sportsnet 590 The Fan, Angelo Viola. He behind the glass is Joe Gorskowski and Derek Brandeo at the controls. We are at your service this wonderful weekend. We will shepherd you through the outdoors, even during these difficult times. We're still pushing it. We're still going out there. Before the break, we were talking to Daniel Kouse. He is senior conservation biologist with the National Office of the Nature Conservancy of Canada, the NCC, based out of Guelph, Ontario. And we're going to talk to him about something that I was totally unaware of. And it's funny because I like to think of myself as a bit of an expert when it comes to nature and natural places and wild places, and certainly Canadian wild places. And I did not realize that we actually had living organisms in this country that were uniquely ours. And he's got a whole list here, and I'm looking at the numbers, and I'm shocked at some of them. We have some uniquely Canadian animals and plants and other wildlife. And to talk to us about that now is Daniel Krause. All right, so let's dive right into this. So we've got these uniquely, apparently there's a 308 in total that species or living organisms, we'll call them, that are uniquely ours. Let's go through some of the lists of the ones that will blow our minds. And in my case, you have four fish on the list. What are they?
Well, the largest fish is one called a copper red horse. And if any of your listeners fish, they might be familiar with a fish called a white sucker. It kind of looks like a sucker, but a little bit bigger. It is kind of this beautiful copper color. It's a fish that only lives in Quebec, in areas around the Richelieu River and into the St. Lawrence River. And like a lot of fishes in southern Canada, it's facing threats like pollution, which is reducing the quality of water, and also dams and barriers. It's a migratory fish, and when it hits a dam or a barrier, that can actually cut off habitat where it will spawn. Unfortunately, one of our endemic fish is extinct. We had eight species that once occurred in Canada that are extinct. They're completely gone. And there was a species of fish that lived in Banff National Park and some of the hot springs in those areas. And just because of some of the alterations of the water flow there and because of the introduction of non-native species, unfortunately, that unique species that was only endemic to Banff National Park is now extinct.
Wow. Okay. So do we have any other than that one that you just mentioned that looks like a sucker? Are there any other living species of fish that are uniquely ours?
Yeah, there's probably one of the most critically endangered species that we have is a species of whitefish called the Atlantic whitefish. It's a fish that actually used to live in the ocean. So a whitefish had actually lived at sea, but would run up rivers to spawn in fresh water. Very, very unique. There's nothing like it in the world. Unfortunately, again, because of dams and barriers, it became landlocked. So it's just restricted to a couple small areas in Nova Scotia right now. There's hopes that there's going to be a captive breeding program. Invasive species are impacting some of the places where it lives, but this may be a species where the next 10 years our actions are going to decide if it goes extinct or if we're able to save it for future generations.
Well, I'm going to go under the assumption now that is totally protected, right? It's totally off limits?
Certainly people aren't catching it. Partly, though, there's just not very many of them. Fortunately, at Dalhousie University, they just started the captive breeding program for it. But it really is a species that is just teetering on the edge of extinction, and one that few Canadians know about. You ask a Canadian to name an endangered species, and they'll probably name something from somewhere else. But that Atlantic whitefish is, from a global perspective, more endangered than pandas or elephants. And as we highlight in the report, you know, it's completely up to Canadians if we're going to save this species from extinction or not.
Wow. Okay. Let's move to mammals. What have you got?
Well, one of the ones in Ontario that some of your listeners might be familiar with is actually the wolf species that lives in Algonquin Park, often referred to as the Eastern Wolf or sometimes the Algonquin Wolf. Scientists have identified that it is a unique species of wolf. So it's separate from the timber wolf or the gray wolf that lives further north. It's a very complicated species because we've kind of forced it into such a small area that it started to hybridize. So it will hybridize with those gray wolves to the north, but also coyotes that have been in Ontario now for less than 100 years will also hybridize with the Eastern Wolf. So its global range now is really centered around Algonquin Park. You do get a few in Quebec in the areas around Algonquin Park, but there's a unique mammal species, again, you know, smaller range than things like pandas or elephants, and it's completely up to us to decide if that species thrives or goes extinct.
Isn't that funny? You just mentioned that twice now. You're comparing our animals that are on the brink with animals that, as soon as you mention their name, where, you know, the alarm bells go off. You know, you said elephants, and you're comparing it to animals that we know and feel this connection to, even though most of us have never really seen one, that live in a totally different part of the world. As soon as you mention them, our ears perk up. But we've got our own species, and I'm being frank with you, I'm ashamed of myself because all of these names that you're throwing out there about our uniquely Canadian wildlife that are you know, in trouble, I'm not even familiar with them. And I live in the outdoors. So that's shame on us, you know?
Well, and this is one thing that we really hope the report would build this awareness. And, you know, as Canadians, like, I'm happy that we're aware of species and wildlife issues from outside of our country. We need to be aware of those. But if we really want to stop wildlife extinction, you know, here's a group of species where it's completely up to us as Canadians. And, you know, I feel like, geez, if we can't do this in Canada, like, you know, where else in the world? It can't be done by anybody else.
No.
And there's a real opportunity, I think, for Canadians to kind of take leadership and ownership of these species to make sure that they are protected.
For sure. What else have we got on that list other than the wolf?
So we have a few unique mammal species. One thing that is kind of surprising in the report is that there's actually quite a few of these all-Canadian species that live in our northern areas. So often when we think of endangered species in Canada, we think of southern Canada, and certainly places like southern Ontario or the mainland of British Columbia, there's lots of species that are nationally at risk. But there are many endemic species in our north, which are quite unique. One of the ones that lives the furthest north is a subspecies of caribou called the Peary caribou, which is the smallest caribou subspecies that we have. It's just a little guy, would be like below your shoulder. It's very wow. small because it's adapted to living in like this very harsh, high Arctic environment. Mm-hmm. And it will kind of migrate on the sea ice, move around. What's unique about it is, or what's important about it, though, is that it seems like it should be protected. It's way in the north in our hinterland, but like many of our northern species, they're living in the part of Canada that's changing the most rapidly because of climate change. Mm-hmm. And extreme weather events, loss of sea ice are all things that are affecting this all-Canadian species and some of our other all-Canadian species that live in the north. So in the south, they're most threatened by habitat loss, and that's what the Nature Conservancy of Canada is really sort of working on, is trying to protect some of those key areas. But even in the north, their future is uncertain because of climate change.
Obviously, it's not a predation thing, and it's nothing other than strictly climate change that's affecting that animal.
That's the main factor for many of these northern species. Yeah.
Okay. What else have we got on there?
I think one of the most interesting plants that we came across was a little white wildflower. This is another northern species that lives along a very small area of the coast in the Northwest Territories. And what's kind of cool about the story of this plant was it was actually first described during the Franklin Expedition. And then kind of forgotten about. And it wasn't until over 150 years later that somebody was going through those notes and kind of found that this description and the collection of this little plant, went back to the same spot and actually found it. The name of the plant is called Hairy Bria. It's just a little white wildflower, but this is another species, though. You'd think it'd be protected. It's in the north, but it is in an area where the climate's changing quite rapidly, and the shoreline area that it lives is starting to thaw as a result of climate change.
Well, like I said, there's 308 species in total on this list that are, for the most part, unknown to all of us here in Canada, which is bizarre in itself. But it's a wonderful document that I think is going to put a whole new shed some light on this whole situation. It's called Ours to Save. The report's called Ours to Save, and it's available for anybody to view on the natureconservancy.ca Ours to Save. Ours to Save. So natureconservancy.ca/ours to save, and it's a unique document, and it's going to change the way we look at conservation in this country, isn't it?
I hope so. I mean, there's a lot of conservation work that we need to do, a lot of species that we need to protect. But these are ones where it really is up to us, and they should be a priority for protecting, but also for Canadians to know about, because they really are, as our report said, you know, ours to save.
Just out of curiosity, how long did the study take to get all this information compiled?
It was about 2 years to do. And basically what we did is we were able to create a list of Canadian wildlife, thanks to our partner, NatureServe Canada, compare that to the list of the United States to figure out which ones that we only had. But then we also needed to look at some of the northern countries to find out the species that were only endemic to Canada.
Once again, it's a report called Hours to Save, and it's available at natureconservancy.ca / I guess it's called, or wherever those slashes are, Hours to Save, and it's a great read for sure. His name is Daniel Krause, Senior Conservation Biologist at Nature Conservancy of Canada, and we appreciate you joining us this morning, Daniel.
Thanks for the opportunity.
Daniel T. Krause, Senior Conservation Biologist, National Office of the Nature Conservancy of Canada, the NCC, out of Guelph, Ontario. Interesting. A few of those, like that Eastern Wolf thing in Algonquin. In fact, we've had people on this program talking about that particular animal, but nobody ever said to me that it was uniquely ours. In fact, there were people on this show who were debating whether it was even a legitimate species. They thought it was a subspecies of the wolf. Anyways, interesting. Always fascinated by that stuff.